once in a while I get an email or a note that says, Bob, sometimes you just seem angry at everything. I thought you Christians were supposed to be just happy all the time and full of joy and love everybody and everything.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Now, let me remind you that Jesus called the religious leaders back in his day a den of vipers. Matter of fact, he was known to flip over tables and use a whip to chase out money changers. St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourself are wise." So what does all that mean? Why do I get angry at some of the things that I see? It's a righteous indignation. It's things that need to be called out in our world today. Not just our church world, I'm talking our political world, our legal world, those that are in charge. I've come to conclude that we are going backward as a society. We may have great technology at our fingertips, but we're getting stupider by the day. We are so dependent upon our technology, we have young people today that do not have common sense. They just believe whatever my little device tells me to believe today. We have teachers, people that we should be trusting. We should be able to trust a teacher to give our young kids and young adults the tools to be able to survive in this world, to have knowledge that over time can become wisdom. Instead, we get a freak show of weirdos that are trying to discuss changing genders, and maybe you're gay when they're 5 or 6 years of age. And if don't give me this nonsense, oh, that's foolishness, Bob, that doesn't happen. Yes, it does. There are people in jail right now because of it. So don't tell me that we do not live in a perverted world, because let me tell you, friend, we do. I'm thinking to myself, when I look at some of these people that are in charge, in our federal government in particular, it's a freak show. It is nothing more than a sick, sad, sinful, degenerate freak show. Is this the best we can hire to run our government? Is this it? If this is the best we can do, then we have a delusional population and we are doomed to our own self-destruction. Of course, the Bible says we're heading there anyway. You know, when St. Paul made that statement, "For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourself as wise," or other versions will put it this way, "You gladly put up with fools since you're so wise." It's actually sarcasm. And it comes, if you want to understand the context a little better, there were a lot of people running around at that time in Corinth, trying to pretend that there's some kind of a new Christian, call it a sect. And they were really just propagating some falsehoods. And St. Paul says, you suffer these fools among you gladly. These are apostate idiots. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble here, and frankly, I don't care. That's kind of like the female Episcopal priest wearing a rainbow stole celebrating Pride Month. Those are fools. Don't suffer those fools gladly. Or in the ELCA Lutheran Church or the United Methodist Church, as they celebrate homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, these people are perversions to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I get mad. I get sick of it. I'm tired of it. If you're in a church like that, that church is condemned already by God, and you will be condemned with it if you stay. Now get out. I'm tired of this. Old grandma gave the stained glass window. Grandma in that window be damned. I'm sorry. I am sick of these perverted churches pretending they're churches when they're nothing but synagogues of Satan. This is what Jesus called them, you den of vipers, and that's what these people are. That Episcopal church with a rainbow flag, it is a den of vipers. It is a servant of Antichrist. It is going to send its people into the pits of hell. And then we have equally perverted people running our government. You got a guy like Biden who stole documents, but he's chasing somebody else for stealing documents that as a president he had the right to have. Biden is a reprobate. Biden is a traitor. Biden is a fool. Now he has dementia. He's a liar, a known liar. 50 years of professional lying. I have 3 degrees. I was in the top of my class. None of it was true. My son died in combat. No, he didn't. On and on, the lies keep going. I decided to run for president when I heard Trump say that was a lie. It's been debunked multiple times. And yet the dementia-ridden fool keeps saying the same lie over and over again, and his people don't shut him up. Yeah, I get mad. Do you blame me for getting mad? I'm watching a system failing people. I talked about it yesterday. Jackson County, Georgia. You screwed up. A family in trouble was kicked to the curb. And now people are dead and everybody's lives are ruined. And just like that song, the night the lights went out in Georgia, time to get home for supper. Our world is in trouble. And I sit here trying to do a radio program sometimes wondering, am I making any difference? I mean, look, politics, and I've said this before, it's something that we do, but it's not my hope. Of course, I will vote. I had a guy that misquoted me multiple times, sent me a nasty gram email. Oh, you're telling people not to vote. You're going to ruin the country. No, I said you do vote, but no politician is my God. I don't worship a politician. I don't have any hope. The Bible says, do not put your trust in princes or the sons of men. Put your hope in God. Of course, I'm still going to vote. And I've made it very clear. You vote for the candidate that poses the lowest amount of threat to your faith, your family, your finances, your future, and your freedom. And Kamala Harris is an absolute threat to all of them. No matter what kind of lie they're putting out today. Oh, I'm all for fracking. No, you weren't. You weren't for years until you looked at the polls. And now for the moment, you're all for it. Until you get there, then you'll be against it again and do just like your dementia-ridden boss and ban it all. You're a part of a new world order that is filled with slimy fools, untrustworthy people, in it for themselves. You signed off on things that are anti-Christ in nature. You know, they want basically, and I've said it before, 12 of every 13 of us needs to be dead and gone to save the planet, of course. I do not suffer fools gladly, trust me. Whether it be in the political realm, whether it be in the technical realm, and I've had to deal with that too, and yes, even in the church realm. I don't have time to suffer fools. I don't give the time of day to some weirdo running around with a rainbow flag saying this is what Jesus wants, more men getting married to more men. And, you know, I saw this story. And once again, these are, you want to know why I'm angry? You know, I'm thinking about this. The FBI, they cleaned up the, whether you, I don't care what your opinion is. You had a so-called assassination or you had an assassination attempt, whatever you, I don't care what you call it, on Donald Trump. And somehow the FBI could clear the crime scene in less than 3 days and just scrub it down so no evidence could ever be found. And they're ready to run away. Hey, we're done here. But they spent months chasing after an 87-year-old lady who had stood in front of an abortion clinic praying, and they want to put her in jail for 10 years. These are the kind of fools we are suffering with. These are unworthy people. By the way, the FBI came into being on an executive order by a president. It could be taken out just as easy, and I think that it should. The FBI for decades was run by a cross-dressing transvestite who kept a dossier on every politician in Washington, D.C. to make himself bulletproof and never under scrutiny. That was their good old days. They're worse today. People like Comey, he's just a liar. He's a political liar. By the way, there's a statute in the federal law that talks about people in those kind of government positions, when they go out of their way to deny you of your constitutional rights, they open themselves up to potentially 20 years in prison. I can remember when Comey talked about right after Trump took office, he sent somebody to the White House thinking there's a little bit of confusion right now so we can play some games and get them to slip up. In other words, denying them their constitutional rights. Comey should be in prison for 20 years. He should not be walking on the sidewalk. He should be in an orange jumpsuit, forgotten about for the next 20 years. Christopher Wray, a chameleon. You can talk about comma chameleon, you know. I mean, the vice president wanting to be president, being, you know, changing with the wind. This clown does too. I can't talk about that today. Well, we're investigating it. I am so sick and tired of these weasels and their weasel answers. You ask them a simple question and they refuse to answer. They should be fired. They should be removed from office. They should lose their pensions. Do your job. If you're in front of the Congress, you answer. You do not play these games. And that goes for Merrick Garland, another pile of vomit, a stain on the idea of justice, and that idiot clown they bring in who should have been disbarred after what he tried to do to the former governor of the state of Virginia, bringing in false charges, destroying the man's life, and then getting overturned unanimously by the Supreme Court. At that point, Jack Smith's law license should have been burned. He should have only been allowed in a courtroom if he's being put on trial. Other than that, he should have been banished from a courtroom, banished from a law school, anything to do with the law. He's a stain on justice. And that's the best we have. Yeah. Him and Fannie Willis and braggadocious up in New York. This is the best we have in the legal trade. They lied. They played games. If Judge Mershon is the epitome of what justice should be, that you work hard to become a judge, then we are dead as a society and justice is dead with it, stinking like a rotting corpse. Yeah, am I mad today? You better believe that I am. I have had enough of a lying, filthy government. I've had enough of lying conservatives. George W. Bush, you and, you know, Dick Cheney, what a class. Oh, man, you guys almost got us into a world war. You took away our rights. You lied about, oh, I'm a compassionate conservative. You were nothing of the kind. You know, back before the year 2000, I had issues with him, George W. Bush, serious ones. And yet, compared to what was running, we were kind of stuck. George W. Bush was a perversion of the Republican Party. He and Cheney, Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney should be on trial literally at The Hague for the crap that he did. And now they're going to be voting for Kamala Harris. And so is Liz Cheney. Yeah, real Republicans. You're all for killing babies up to the point of birth and even after. You don't believe in civil rights. You only believe in war, more war, and more money. You're evil to the core. There's no life in you. You're masquerading as something you're not. Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney, you're perversions. And you're running the risk of spending an eternity separated from God by living your lies. I'm sick of it. I'm not saying Trump is a saint. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, I am done with the political class of clowns that run our country today. There are too many of them. We've been overrun. And then you get these
people that come after me saying, well, you don't sound like very Christian-like. You know, you're just supposed to love everybody and everything. You know, the Beatles had their theology, right? All you need is love. Love everybody.
I'm Papa Choose, your healer for the day. Do you love one another?
We all love one another.
The topic I would like to speak upon today is love for your brother.
We all love one another. We do, we do, we do, we do, we do.
And that kind of perverted love has become the theology of many churches around the world today. In the Western world in particular, love everybody, everything. Yeah, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you really love your neighbor and your neighbor is dying in sin and doing things that are an abomination unto God, being dishonest, you know, trying to pervert children by explaining to them they're in the wrong bodies, or maybe they're gay and they're only 5 or 6. Loving somebody does not permit that kind of sin to abound and destroy a young person's life. You call it out. You call it out. You do not suffer it gladly. You call it out and condemn it for what it is. I'm so sick of this perversion of the Bible by so-called Christians. I'm sorry, ELCA, you have damned yourself in the sight of God. The Episcopal Church in the United States, with all your perversion, you have damned yourself in the sight of God. United Methodist Church, what you did in May, you have damned yourself in the sight of Almighty God, and you're going to take the people with you if you do not repent. Well, Bob, my grandmother gave the window, and I said before, I don't care about your stinking window. Get out of that perverted place. I don't know how can I get this through some of your heads? Then you got those, I don't believe in organized religion, so I just stay home. Well, you're not a part of the fellowship. You're not even trying to be. I know people that can't get to a church. I get it. That's why I have a church online for those that can't get there. But I'm so tired of, well, I can contemplate God while I'm fishing or golfing. You're not contemplating God. You're not even contemplating your navel. All you're doing is just living a lie. And there, I think, probably, how do I put it? To me, that is the greatest perversion of all. When the church has abandoned the gospel, become an apostate church preaching another gospel. St. Paul warned about it. If any of us, including an angel, should come to you and proclaim another gospel that is not the gospel, not what we've taught you, then consider them accursed. They're vile people. They're agents of the Antichrist, to be quite blunt. We are living in a world where teachers are teaching young children in the public schools, and there are some private schools too, to celebrate perversion, to embrace the things that God condemns. You know, somebody said, I had a guy wrote something on Facebook, and he's in one of... I'll call it a theological debate group, for lack of a better term. And this guy said, I think what I ought to do is run for a county commission position in my county, and then I'll fix the schools. I know there are a handful of districts in some cities where the city does run the schools, but I can tell you in this particular person's county, the school district is its own taxing authority. They have their own meetings. They are their own, in essence, entity. And they don't answer to anybody else except maybe, to some degree, the state. And I said, if you really want to make a change, forget the county council. You have no influence. You're not funding them. You have no control. You can't even pass an ordinance telling them what to do. How about run for this school board? And then I said, and by the way, who's on your school board in your community or county? He didn't know. I said, right now, you got 10 seconds. I don't know any of them. So you're going to go fix it by going to a different government agency to try to fix something. You know, I think where we've gone off the rails, and I blame myself, too. I was just as bad. For years, I didn't know, didn't care. School board, yeah, schools are fine. Why should I worry about it? They're doing great. I guess the guy that's been there for 10 years, he's okay. Many of us have fallen into that trap. I'm beginning to think that school boards, especially in the majority, and let me say it again, in the majority of cities and counties where the school board reigns supreme when it comes to the schools, think Virginia, Loudoun County, for example, the school board. I mean, they knew they had a alleged trans boy going into girls' rooms, had raped one girl. So what did they do? They moved him to another school and tried to bury it and keep it quiet. When a father came to complain, that school board wanted the police to arrest the complaining father. Yeah, that's how perverted and sick these slime buckets are that run some of our schools. They are so satanically deluded. They think that boys going into the girls' bathroom and raping a girl, it's normal. And we just have to make sure that people don't hear about it, so we change the school where the boy goes so he can rape again. If you want to affect change in small town America, it's not going to be your mayor or town or city or whatever your village commission or council. Every place a little different. I've been in a lot of small town America, and I see some of the silliest, most childish games played by some inept local yokel politician. Well, they don't. I know of one case not far from where I live in Virginia, where they didn't want to deal with an issue. So the council decided, you know, a couple of them to stay home so they wouldn't have a quorum. So they had to cancel the meetings until after the election, because nobody wants to go on record. So business in that township is being delayed for politics so somebody can get reelected. And businesses trying to open can't get their permits to do anything because they can't get the council together long enough because they refuse to because of politics. So, yeah, small town America's got its issues too. Bunch of boneheaded, pig-headed, highly egotistical fools that don't have the common sense that God gave seafood. But they're full of themselves or something. And these little towns suffer as a result. And see, what you don't understand in small town America, and I'm beginning to see this happen, especially as big city grows into small towns. You see that anywhere near Atlanta. Places that 30 years ago were rural, and Atlanta seemed like a billion miles away. Now they've been engulfed, and they're nothing but bedroom communities for people that work in Atlanta. And the Atlanta politics, the Atlanta crime, the Atlanta attitudes are coming all the way to their doorstep, and they're paying dearly for it. I've said it before. I've said it many a time, but I'll remind you again. The extreme lunatic left worked hard to take over education. They started at the university level and colleges, especially state-run colleges and universities. And over time, they worked their way into virtually every university. Look at Columbia. It's all Democrats and leftists run the place. If you're a conservative, you're a pariah. If you have common sense or believe in God, they don't want you. Colleges are nothing but sewers of perversion and indoctrination now. They didn't used to be. And who are they training? Teachers. Yeah, not just for college, but for high school, middle school, junior high, elementary school, preschool. That's where they're being trained. If you can get on your school board and you get enough of you, you actually could affect a change by putting policies in place in your local school, because you're going to be the one hiring the school administrator. You're the one that will hire those that will bring on the principals and teachers, and you can set a standard. But see, when you don't vote in those elections or you don't care, these clever, slimy people know how to play the game, get themselves on the ballot, do a nice little sales pitch, say the right things, get in there, and you keep voting in the incumbent. And you wonder why your schools have been declining consistently for 50 years? That's how. 100%, all by design, and people just don't see it. Take your school back. Take your local government back. If you got some politician, whether it be a mayor or a city commissioner or councilor or village whatever your community is, big, small, find out where these people really stand. Ask them hard questions. If they evade your questions, then you need to make sure others know not to vote for them. See, right now, most politicians in most small communities don't have a big challenge. And I think that they wouldn't know what to do if they did. It may be difficult to get our federal government back under control. We can hope that maybe it can happen. But it's going to take time. But you can make a big difference on the local level. And as you make a difference on the local level, it changes the federal voting habits as well. You know, right now, there are hundreds of thousands of people that are avid hunters, believers in the Second Amendment. They're good stewards of the land. I know some people don't like hunting, and I don't myself. Just never had a reason to. And they have one thing in common. They're not registered to vote. Oh, they complain that, you know, protect my Second Amendment, but they're not even voting. Right now, there are literally millions of born-again Christians that are not registered to vote. They're so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good. Let me explain to you something. We may not be of this world, but we're still living in it. And as long as we're living in it, the Bible declares that we are salt and light. Salt is a preservative. Light is to show the evil that hides in darkness. The Bible declares, do not put your light under a bushel barrel. But many of these Christians that don't vote, that's exactly what you're doing. You're putting your light under a barrel. You're hiding in your little church building. You're not doing anything in your community. You're not speaking out on any topic. You're just hiding and trying to, let's all just get along, folks. And we tolerate things that the Bible condemns. You know, I wasn't planning on, I'm going to share this real quick, and I only may share a few seconds of this, but I ran across this little video that somebody had put up. This is two men. They both have beards. They're about as effeminate can be. I mean, they're pretty boys. I hate to use that old terminology, but that's the only word that's coming to mind. And what are they so proud of? They're on their first trip with their adopted baby girl. Because, see, they used in vitro fertilization. So there were many, many, many embryos, and they discarded the ones they didn't want. And this one is now born. And now they are the proud parents of a daughter that they couldn't give birth to. But they're the happy parents, and everybody on the airplane is just oohing and aahing. This is on an airliner as they're with this little baby, these two effeminate men sitting next to each other pretending they're mommy and daddy. And this is the perversion that we are being demanded by this reprobate government here in the United States and Canada and Germany and France and the United Kingdom. We're being demanded to accept this, or we are the ones they will condemn and put in prison.
Our first travel together. Family. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, baby.
Do you see yourself in the camera? Oh.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Rebecca. Look at me, Rebecca.
Hi. Okay, I got to fade that out. I can't listen to another second. I'm going to throw up if I keep listening. I looked at that video. These two very effeminate men kissing on each other and their new little baby. And this is what our federal government, this is what Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, the good Catholic, are demanding, that we accept this. This is normal. The Bible condemns it as an abomination. We're told that killing babies in the womb is normal. It's health care. To God, it's murder. We are sexualizing little children. Jesus himself says those who would do such evil things to our young children, it would be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and for those evil people to be tossed into the sea. But no, this is what our federal government, this is what Garland, this is what all of these people defend. The FBI chases down those that condemn such, well, strangeness and evil. Those that condemn it, we're now the bad people. We're the ones that, you know, it's just like Tulsi Gabbard. She ran for president. She had been a Democrat. Now she decides she's voting for Trump, and somehow they put her on the do not fly list as a terrorist. Our government is perverted to the core. I would say it would take firing and removing from power about 90% of those that work in the federal government for us to even have a 50-50 chance of surviving the next 10 to 20 years. We'll try, but it's become that evil. And then you look at states. Oh, they play games like California right now. Suddenly they're acting like they know what they're doing. We can't do that. It's going to cost too much. But it's only because there's an election around the corner. Wait till December and get back to the first of the year. It's business as usual again. It's all going to go the way it's been going for ages. You know, I do this radio program every day. And some days it's really hard to do. Today is actually one of them. And I got a few stories I may or may not even get a chance to get to. Though I should. We have a media we can no longer trust. What liars? Chuck Todd, you're a liar. I mean, I get a kick. You were all bent out of shape when, you know, Rona McDaniels, who was not one of my favorite people that's a conservative, came to your network.
Oh, us journalists don't want to deal with her.
You're not a journalist. You're a propaganda pig. You're a fool. You're a moron. You're an idiot. You haven't had a thought of your own since you got a big paycheck. You're not allowed to think, Chucky. You just do what you're told for a paycheck. And you get to pretend you're a journalist and act like one and been treated like one. You're not. You're a propaganda pig. You've destroyed the concept of journalism, something that I once respected around 50 years ago when I was in my, when I turned 20. Starting my career, I had this idealism that maybe I could make a difference by being an honest broker of information. I could see it starting in the 70s and 80s. It was going downhill. But we stand out here like a voice crying in the wilderness each and every day. And it's only because of so many people like you that support us. Now, I've got some other stories. Don't go away. I've got a few stories and a little surprise on the other side.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Tuesday. Yeah, I know today I've been a bit on the angry side, a bit concerned, a bit worried. And letting you know why I'm concerned. There's no sense beating around the bush anymore, as they say. I have had it with so-called conservatives that claim to be something they're not. They're just liars. They've been lying to you and I for years, and they have a phony agenda, and we're supposed to just sign off on it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tired of churches that have abandoned the true mission of the gospel and have gone into some social gospel or perversion of the gospel or perversion of sexuality and call it Christ-centered and churchy. You're not a church. You're a synagogue of Satan. I'm done. And I'm going to call it out. And you can get mad at me all you want. I really don't care. Why should I care? I don't get paid to do this program. I give my time to do it. I could do a lot of other things. But I really believe it's important to give you the truth. Some of you understand the truth, and you need to hear this to reinforce what you already understand, that you're not alone in this battle. Let me say that again. Many of you need to hear this program to know that you're not alone in this battle. And truly, my friend, it is a battle. It's a battle for the heart, the minds, and the souls of our young people, our cities, and our entire nation, or your nation. Every once in a while, there's a little bit of good news. Down in Latin America, there's been a lot of stuff going on. You probably have heard in Brazil, there's a weirdo. He looks like Lurch from the old Adams family. He's a judge. Running secret trials with secret verdicts, and you're not allowed to talk about the secret verdicts and trials and everything else. You got to keep it quiet because this is political persecution, and if you don't abide by it, we're going to persecute you more. There were two competing rallies down in Brazil not that long ago, just a few days ago. You couldn't count the ones that came for the pro-freedom rally. The one put on by the crooked dictator president, nobody showed up. People are beginning to have enough. But the problem is, how do you stand together? Now, if you may have heard me share this little tidbit before, and I'll share it again to remind you. Somebody that lived in East Germany during the late 50s, I'm 70, this got to be around 80, 82 now. But he wrote years ago, after the Berlin Wall came down, what the world was really like at that time. Because he grew up in that period of time, in the 50s. He remembers it well. He remembers the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, and he remembers when it all collapsed. He said it took him a long time to understand the concept. I can really travel now to West Germany, where I actually had family that I knew of. He had been so beaten down for so long in fear. And he said it dawned on him years later that at like 1:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, sometime late at night, maybe even early on a Sunday, you'd hear the clicking heels of the Stasi police and the trench-coated, you know, undercover types. Just a handful, armed with, you know, a submachine gun, a rifle, and a pistol. And they would click. You could hear their, they made sure you could hear their boots and their clicking shoes as they came down the hallways and up the stairs. They made sure they were making a big racket. They wanted you to hear them. And then they would bang hard on the door and yell to come on out. And they would take a dissident away. Sometimes that dissident came back, very quiet, never to speak again about what happened, or never to be heard from again. And this guy said, we lived in this, you know, four-story apartment building in East Berlin, or near it. And he said, you know, we would, this would happen every once in a while, and you were just afraid to do anything for fear of being arrested yourself or shot. But it dawned on him, in that apartment building where he lived, there were hundreds of people and only three of them, maybe four. They could have easily taken out those Stasi officers and maybe put the fear into them, because, see, there were not as many of them as they were people yearning to be free. They were enslaved by their own fear. And the masters of fear had control over them. Look at the stuff the FBI has been doing. Now, whether you agree with some of these people politically or not, what they did is just totally wrong. Roger Stone, elderly guy. He's no threat. But you're going to come with long guns and bang on his door at 6 o'clock in the morning, haul him out in his underwear, handcuff him, and take him away for a process crime? Same with an abortion clinic person? I mean, this is the kind of nonsense. This is Stasi tactics being done by our own FBI. These perverted people need to be in prison. They need to be fired. They need to be investigated. We need our nation back. It's time to wake up. And where's the church? Absent without leave. Half the churches now are so busy worrying about their church budgets now that they can come back after COVID, and they're still not recuperating in many cases. And some are still living in COVID fear. Yeah, there's still people that won't go to church because of COVID. Restaurants, Walmart. That's fine. Oh, but church, man, I'll get COVID and die. This is the world of fear that they have created. You know the best way to get over fear? Knowledge. Knowledge. And the more you exercise real knowledge based in real fact, the sooner you graduate from knowledge unto wisdom. How to apply the knowledge. If all your knowledge comes from MSNBC, you know, Mind Syphilis NBC, if all your knowledge comes from a pop artist or a movie star or a reprobate politician that curses God in their actions and their deeds each and every day, if all your knowledge comes from some teacher pushing a gay agenda on, you know, 6 and 7 year old kids, if that's where your knowledge comes from, you have no knowledge. You're building your life on a lie. And that's why we do this program each and every day. It's good to see that people in Brazil are beginning to wake up. It's good to see in Canada some people are waking up. It's good to see even in Germany, which is becoming its old self again in terms of the way they treat their people, and some show trials going on there. One really quick story, and this just burned me. I had some guy talking about, well, aren't we supposed to love our neighbor and, you know, and feed the stranger? Yeah, we should. I get that. And he was talking about, you know, people being upset with something that's been happening in Ohio. Springfield, Ohio. Population used to be 80,000, but it started to decline as industry left and rotted out. It was down to below 60,000. The Biden administration has sent 20,000 Haitians there that are homeless. And this poor town is having to put up with it and the thievery and all that goes with it. Now, this is not, I understand you feed the stranger, but these are not strangers, they're invaders. When the guy breaks into your house at 2 o'clock in the morning and threatens you and your children, do you offer him, you know, a midnight snack? Place to stay. Hey, sleep. I know you want to kill us and rape my kids, but, you know, take a nap on the couch first. You have these NGOs being paid for by federal grants, that's non-government organizations, to bring 20,000 to take over a town, and they're paying a huge price. Relocating Haitians living in Springfield under Biden's parole program has sped into oncoming traffic. It even caused a school bus wreck that killed an 11-year-old boy. And the city commission there is being really beaten up by the locals. And I would tell you around Springfield, don't let it go. My friend Frank Silvato put together a piece for us today I want to share with you here on the program. Frank, the microphone is yours.
No fear. No political correctness. And no wokeism. Underground USA.
Thanks for downloading, listening, and sharing. My name is Frank Salvato, and you're spending a few moments in Underground USA. In the critical swing state of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to be exact, supporters of Kamala Harris have created counterfeit posters that imply the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFL franchise for that city, endorses Kamala Harris. They don't. In fact, no NFL team has ever endorsed a presidential candidate in the league's history. While individual players, coaches, or owners may express their political, personal views, the teams themselves strive to remain politically neutral, and for good reason. They want to maintain a broad fan base and avoid alienating potential supporters. This is why smart people who live in the public eye, and that number is dwindling if you're not among the political class, refrain from openly wearing their politics on their sleeves. In 1990, when asked why he didn't speak out more on political issues, Michael Jordan, perhaps the most famous athlete of contemporary times, said, "Republicans buy sneakers too." He didn't want to risk alienating any potential customers or fans based on their political beliefs. So it bears out that the Philadelphia Eagles wouldn't likely endorse one of the most divisive politicians of our time. But Kamala Harris's supporters and handlers would love for the people of Philadelphia to believe that untruth, just like they hope you believe every other untruth being vomited in her undigestible word salad. Untruths like, "We want to build a wall on the southern border," that she was a successful law and order prosecutor in California, that she isn't going to tax the middle class into oblivion if elected, and that she just loves collard greens, so much that she has to wash them in her bathtub. She cooks so much of it, all while donning a pathetic fake accent to pander to the crowd she's in front of at any given time.
"You better thank a union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time. Let's just get through the next 64 days. Come on." "And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Do I see people testifying? Can I get a witness?"
America's voting public is slowly, and none too soon, coming to the realization that Kamala Harris is a fraud, a political grifter whose only talent is climbing the governmental ladder from her knees. So it shouldn't be surprising to find that as her campaign staff and hardcore supporters see that the jig is up, they would turn to fraud and illegal acts to try and get their Marxist comrade over the finish line on November 5th. They will concoct any narrative, create any false reality, make any false statement, bundle as many fraudulent ballots, and, quite frankly, hack any voting system to give their comrade the best chance of emerging victorious in November. That being the reality of the case, because let's face it, for the Harris-Walz Obama 4.0 team, a loss in November cannot be tolerated. That being the reality, a priority for the Trump team and their ardent supporters must be how to not only beat the cheat, but to counter the cheat. On every point where the far-left gaggle of Marxist vote thieves are plying their trade, there has to be someone there to counter their action. Concoct a narrative? Counter it with something more attention-grabbing to neuter their efforts. Create a false reality? Make a false statement? Shoot holes into it to expose the obvious lie in such a dramatic and ridiculing way that Alinsky himself would have no choice to be proud. Bundle fraudulent ballots? Make sure that amount is countered and exceeded with bundles of legitimate ballots. Hack a voting system to insert illegal and fraudulent votes? Hack their systems with viruses that destroy their software, throwing their black hat operations into chaos, or at the very least, reverse their actions. At every turn, take their tactics and use them against them. That's the Chicago way. And since Team Trump, the Republicans, conservatives, independents, the unaffiliated, libertarians, and real Democrats, and even the Green Party, are up against the despotic, totalitarian Chicago machine, released in the national level during the election of 2008 and the Marxist, America-hating Barack Obama, we simply must use their playbook against them. That requires getting our hands dirty. That requires fighting fire with fire. That requires organizing the effort without the big-head egos getting in the way. And it requires people, both deep-pocketed and not, to support those who are getting their hands dirty to achieve the goal. This election isn't about Republican versus Democrat. It's not even about Harris versus Trump. It's about a 20-plus year incremental Marxist takeover of our government system so that they can execute their revolutionary takeover from the inside of the machine. The enemy is inside the gates. The fifth column is potent and active. It's time for real Americans to beat back the horde smartly, potently, and effectively. And that means meeting the enemy at every turn on the electoral field of battle. As Donald Trump said on July 13th, fight, fight, fight. My name is Frank Savato, and you can read all my articles and listen to the podcast at undergroundusa.com. Now, back to Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Well, I want to thank Frank Salvato for putting that together for us today. Just to kind of update you where things are. You know, last week was my final immunotherapy session for hopefully many months to come. Time will tell. And this week we're trying to get back into a normal routine again. It's not easy. It's been these past 6 weeks have gotten us so far behind. We're busy this week working on things for the new radio station here for Southwest Virginia, which will also be online for you to listen to as well. I have a special service to attend at a church for an ordination. We're heading down Friday. The special service is going to be held on a Saturday so people can be there. And then we travel back Saturday afternoon and I'll be at my church on Sunday. And I'm looking forward to this very special time of ordination for really helping a church body grow and move forward. So keep my wife and I in your prayers. How do I begin to thank so many of you that listen? I have somebody that recently started giving a substantial amount to this program that used to be a tithe to his church. And I've been trying to find the time to sit down and write a letter. But these past 6 weeks have just been so rough. And I'm going to try to find time in the next couple of weeks. There are many that support this program sacrificially. And I can't begin to thank you for what you've done to keep this program on the air. There's wonderful ministry opportunity out there, way beyond just the confines of this radio program. And I pray that God upholds my health so I can be a catalyst to get these started. I don't want to run them. I don't want any credit. I just want to get them going for the sake of the gospel. God has already lined up those that should be in charge. Do you believe in this ministry? If you do, visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.